You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I... Well, good evening and welcome everyone to the Lifeline broadcast. I'm Apostle Shirley Jones, the Senior Pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center and the host of this broadcast. Thank you tonight for joining me. To God be all the glory. Well, as always, I am just so glad and honored to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. This network is doing the work of kingdom building throughout the world. You know, and we are in such a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building in 2022 and beyond. To God be the glory. Amen and amen and amen. Well, before we get into the broadcast for tonight, I want to extend an invitation for you guys to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center worship service. We're back in the building, and Sunday service messages post later on Facebook and YouTube. And you can share the messages with your family and your friends. This is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. Also join us for our Bible study Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. on Zoom audio. You know, this year we're doing something a little different. The theme is exploring the Bible. We are going from Genesis to Revelation, and you can go to our church Facebook page to get information to connect. And also, I want to say, as far as being back in the sanctuary, everyone wears a mask. We are very pro-COVID, you know, trying to keep everybody as protected as possible. So everyone is required to wear a mask. We do social distancing, and we also sanitize the room before anybody gets in there. And so we're very, like I say, pro-COVID. But come out, hang out with us so that we can just worship together and be blessed. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and go forward. So, Father God, we just bless you, God, and we honor you, God, and we adore you tonight. I pray that, God, that you would just be in the midst of us tonight. I pray that, God, that you would speak. I pray that, God, that you would bless the speaker, my guest tonight. I pray that, God, that you would give your people a listening ear, Father God, and a heart to receive. I pray that something that is said tonight will cause somebody's life to change and somebody to even ask, what must I do to be saved? So, Father, I thank you for this platform. I thank you for this opportunity again tonight, Lord God, to come first before you and before your people. So I just give this broadcast back. I pray, God, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, and bless your people in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, I'm excited. I am so excited tonight to have Minister Vanessa Williams as my guest. She has been a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ for over 20 years. She is a fellow host speaker on the weekly broadcast called His Abounding Grace. She served as a Sunday school teacher, pulpit, and conference speaker and administrator. You know, she's passionate about encouraging others and teaching them how to strengthen their Christian journey. She's a retiree of the U.S. federal government. She holds a degree in biblical studies and a certificate in biblical counseling principles. She is a member of Life Point Church, located in Fredericksburg, Virginia, where she serves as a small group leader and coach. And she has currently written two books titled The Girl from Chapel Hill, Volumes 1 and 2. And although both books are fiction, but they contain and they illustrate principles of faith, hope, love, and forgiveness, which we are going to discuss tonight. So welcome, welcome, Minister Vanessa, and to have you join me tonight.
Thank you so much, Apostle Shirley. Appreciate you having me on your broadcast tonight.
Amen. So we're just going to just jump right in I believe that there's things that you're going to share and that we can discuss that will be a blessing. So the first thing I want to ask you, so when did you really realize you wanted to be a writer?
Well, before I answer that, I just wanted to give thanks to God, first of all, for this opportunity. Thanking you once again. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the founder of When Christians Speak broadcast, Reverend Ray, who's the founder. So I just thank God for the opportunity to just be a witness for him with this platform. When did I realize I wanted to be a writer? Oh, my gosh. It goes back so many years. I mean, I can remember even as a teen writing. I always loved to write. In terms of how long ago and I thought I wanted to be an author, I would say about 20-some years ago, really.
I remember
the Lord speaking to me, a scripture that's real dear to my heart, that he was going to complete what he finished in me. And without going into a lot of detail, I believe that was the time when I knew it was going to be, I didn't know what form it was going to be in, but I knew that I wanted to be an author. Thank you for asking me that.
Amen, amen. You know, it's interesting that you say that because I'm an author as well, and it's interesting how God will just use things sometimes that we don't even know that he's going to use it to further use it. I've journaled since about 1985. I've journaled, and my journaling was to empty out. A lot of times I could not talk about how I felt, but I could write about it. And so I have journals that date all the way back, and God has allowed me to journal. I journal even up to today. I journal every morning when I wake up in the morning. I jot down my dreams and things like that. And then God just said, you know, turn those words of encouragement, your experiences, into a book. And so that's why my first two books, Lifeline, Volume 1 and 2, are actually excerpts from my journal. He says, now that I've encouraged you, now I want you to encourage others. So that's just awesome to hear you say that because, you know, a lot of times our gifts are being formulated in us way before they're actually utilized. And sometimes we don't even know what they're for. But, you know, God is always working in us and on us. So my next question is, what are some of the things that inspired you to write this book?
Oh, again, I must thank God first for releasing me because I did not know it was going to be fictional. I did not know it was going to be in a novel format. I really thought my first book was going to be a collection of various sermonettes that I've done over the years. And when I retired in March of 21, I realized I hadn't really thought to him recently about the type of book, always thinking I knew what was best, you know? So I asked him, and I was really, I'll be honest with you, I was really surprised when I got the green light to do a novel based on spiritual principles. So I have to acknowledge my Heavenly Father first. So grateful to him because, you know, if it wasn't for his support, his wisdom, his guidance, I would never have completed either book one or book two. Throughout this process, I have to say I asked for and I received his guidance in so many unexpected ways. And then there are two other areas I want to highlight. My mama, I call her Mama Laura, she passed on years ago. I was reared from birth by my maternal grandmother, who I call Mama. She always had a special place in my heart. And if you read my book, you'll see a lot of her sayings throughout the book. So I carry so much of her wisdom and so much of her sayings even to this day. I trust I honor her way. I really do. She would always say sayings like, treat others the way you want to be treated. And I remember her, I can hear her saying now, a little lie is still a lie, no matter who tells it. So I have to acknowledge her to actually dedicate my book to my husband, Rick, and also to Mama Law. And then I want to also say that it's always been my desire to encourage people, to help them on their journey. It remains my desire that somewhere, somebody, sometime along the way, will be strengthened about something they've read in the pages of this book. Something they've read, something I've shared along the way that would help them on their journey. So I thank you so much for asking me that question.
You also, how did it come about that you knew that it was going to be a novel? It was like, How did that happen? What did God say? And how long did it take you to get the download? Tell
us
a little bit about that.
That was quick, Apostle Shirley, really quick. So, again, it was like in March of 21 when I retired from the government. I had really had opportunity to just focus more so, you know, instead of working on a 9-to-5. And, I had thought that my first book was going to be, you know, just a lot of how-tos, which is fine, on love and faith and joy. But to be turned around to a novel, you asked me how long. It wasn't long at all. I'm so serious. I mean, when I prayed and asked God, and I'm telling you, Apostle, it was about a week's time when I started to sit down and formulate that. And, I mean, I would be at the computer typing sometimes 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and words were coming to me so fast. I literally couldn't get them down quick enough. And I know I say that because I know it's not me. I know it was him. And when I was stumbled, when I was get stuck, you know, I could just hear the words, you know, and I had to tear up. And I'm very passionate about thinking back about how God orchestrated this thing. So I can't take credit for that. But in terms of how long, I think it was going to move from nonfiction to fictional, it was really a matter of a week. And then in September of 21, I think I started the first book, really sit down, I'd say March of 20, and so September of 21, it was published, and there was a lot in between that time. But at any rate, and then the second book was published this past June of 22.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And isn't it just wonderful when you can sit and get the download, you know, when you know it's not you, but you
hear
it, you're hearing it. You're hearing it being poured into you. It's like, whoa, it's just nothing like that. I say that all the time, even when I'm sitting for Sunday messages, you know, when I'm sitting and I'm hearing, you know, tell them this. You know, use this scripture, use this situation. It's like nothing like that God, the Holy Spirit comes and just begins to tell you, give you direction.
Amen.
And you know it's not you, but it's all in Him, and you're just so grateful for that. So grateful.
So grateful. So grateful.
Yeah. So that's awesome. That's kind of like when I did the ABCs of Leadership. I thought I was going to do another kind of book, and he says, no, this is what I want you to do, the ABCs of Leadership. He says, I want you to come, and I want you to sit. He said, sit for 6 weeks, get you a notebook and some pens, and I want you to come each evening. And I did that from Monday to Friday. I had the weekend off because I was still preaching. And he said, I want you to come for 6 weeks, and in 6 weeks I have the ABCs of Leadership, so I can attest to that, you know.
Yes.
When it's
yes.
not, you know, he just does it. He just tells us, and
Amen.
Especially when he takes us out of our flow when we're doing something that we didn't think we were going to do, and he says, "No, but this is what I want you to do," and it's just so exciting. So tell us a little bit behind. It's very interesting. Your title. Behind the book, The Girl from Chapel Hill. So how did that come about, and what's how does that relate to your book?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked that question, too. I'll tell you that I think it's very tricky. I get to ask that question all the time, or I get the statement, so you're the girl from North Carolina. And I was like, well, no, there are several cities in the United States called Chapel Hill. Several of them are on the map, but there is just one small city that's in Virginia that's not on the map. And actually, I was born in a small city called Chapel Hill, Virginia, which is not on the map. But the book is not about me, so I quickly tell people that. But Chapel Hill kind of sucks because I'm very fond of the small town. And actually, you know, Chapel Hill, Tennessee is the background for this particular book one. But basically, the title could be about any girl, any guy, any man, or any woman from any small town USA who embarks on a journey and has his bumps and bruises along the way. You know, I'm that girl, you that girl, he's that guy. Yet with the help of God, as you know, our journey, regardless of where we come from, our journey could be a legacy, you know, of faith, forgiveness, and freedom, and we can pass it on to others, to our children, to our grandchildren. So I know people get stuck on the title, like, interesting, or where it comes from. I remember sitting there writing as you know, you probably write the book first, and the title comes to you later. It doesn't come to you at first.
Right.
But when I thought about this, I said, this is going to be tricky because it's not about North Carolina. And I started Googling the different cities in the United States, and there are so many. I didn't know that there were that many named chapters here. But basically, that's the title of the book, and so I stuck with that. And I have to share also that it could be about anybody, any small town. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, you know, what your background in life is. I always share with people, you have everything you need already deposited within you, whether you're a small country girl or guy, but you can succeed. You can come from a small town, USA, and you can do whatever you want to do as long as you put your confidence, your faith in God.
Amen. Amen. So how does, because there's volume one and volume two, how do they relate? Are they, volume two, because I just looked a little bit in volume two. I read several chapters in volume one. How do they relate?
Mm-hmm.
Are they like a continuation or part two?
Yeah.
Or is it something
yeah.
separate? You know, what is the correlation between the two books?
Okay, so no, that's an excellent question. No, they are, it's a sequel, volume two, book two, follows on the story of the characters in book one. And actually, book two subtitle is Legacy of a Praying Mama. So as I mentioned earlier, book one, the girl from Chapel Hill, the main character, Laura, she talks a lot about her mama, which really was her grandmother, and a lot of what she learned, a lot of the lessons she learned from mama. So a lot of that was praying, her mom praying over her. She learned to pray. She went through a lot herself, this main character. And so book two is subtitled Legacy of a Praying Mama. And so it continues on some of the characters from book one. So it is a sequel.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things that I noticed when I read, I think about three or four chapters in the first book, that there were principles that were threaded throughout the book, and it was like hope, love, faith, and forgiveness. To me, those were the important biblical principles that I saw that was displayed in the book. So I just wanted us to mess with that for a little bit tonight. And I just want you to take some time and talk to us a little bit about these principles and how they played out in your book, and the importance in the life of the believer. So let's just kind of jump in that for a little bit. And let's look at the first one when you think about the word hope. Hope right now stands out to me a lot because I'm preaching a series at church called Hope Not Deferred. And the importance of hope, and you know, hope, when hope comes, you know, we have to have hope, because if we don't have hope, we die. You know, we stay stuck. We can't hold on to the promises of God. And so hope is just so important. So just talk to us a little bit about hope. How was that? I read it through your book. What's your take when it comes to hope? How did you want people to receive hope? And why do you feel as though that's so important to be displayed in your book for the believer?
Amen. Great question. Okay, but the first thing I wanted to mention was the scripture that you'll see it threaded throughout my book, Hebrews 11:1, because faith and hope go hand in hand. And the scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As you read the book, people will see that the main character, she goes through a lot of stuff. She grows up, and even into adulthood, she's always thought she could lean on her mama's faith to get her through different things. We all know that each of us has a measure of faith. But after years of struggling, Laura, that's the main character, she finally realizes she can't rely on mama's faith anymore. She has to reach deep down within and rely on her own faith. So there's that hope that's within her. It's there. And just like God tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plan to give you hope in a future. So I say to anyone today that to be encouraged because there is hope. Regardless of whatever you're going through, you can make it. I tell anyone to be encouraged, be of good cheer. God is the one that will strengthen your heart. All you need to do is hope. That little muscle of faith that you have within, just draw on it. But be encouraged. Don't forget to breathe, you know. Don't forget to breathe. As long as you've got breath in your body, there is hope, hope for the future. And I also want to share just to be reminded that Christ is the solid rock and all other ground truly is seeking stand. So yes. There's so much stuff going on in the world today where we can be swayed by what the naysayers say. But I want to encourage all my brothers and sisters, anyone listening or even reading the book, that there are so many scriptures that you can cling to, that hope that you have within you, just be encouraged. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. How do we maintain hope? How do we maintain hope in a world that seems so hopeless? How do you keep the faith when every fiber of you cries out, enough is enough, when you're going through stuff? How do you keep on keeping on when all you really want to do is toss in the towel? We have within us everything we need to do. We just have to reach out and remember who we are serving. We need to strengthen our foundation through prayer, and I can go on and on and on about that. But hope is so critical, and again, hope and faith go hand in hand. We need to, a lot of times, just draw back and stop focusing on our own situation and start focusing on someone else, and then the hope that we have within us, it can be relighted, you know, relit, so that we can just keep, we know that we can just keep on keeping on. Put in one foot in front of the other, one foot at a time. But it's so important. And the book, when you go through from book one to book two, you see that this main character, she learns a lot through the trials she's gone through. And she had hope all along, and she had to, though, rely not on her faith of others. She had to learn that, hey, I got to do this thing for myself. I got to do it. It's not just a matter of going to church, but it's a matter of me, hey, what do I need to do to keep on keeping on? Because she thought she was going to lose her mind. And I'm not getting into the whole storyline, but she thought she was going to lose her mind. But she goes to a Christian conference, a two-day conference that turns her life around. And the facilitator talks a lot about hope, talks a lot about love, and talks a lot about forgiveness. And I know you're going to get into that in a little bit, so I'm just going to pause right now. But did that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. You know, hope is so important. I had jotted down the scripture right before we got on. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 and 26, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And, you know, right here in Lamentation, it says, when I recall to my mind, and that's one of the things that we have to get to a place that we do not allow time or space to rob us of our hope and our confidence in Father God. If we would focus on, you know, He is a great God, and if we can recall all the things that God has already done in our lives, and he is the same God that he faileth us not, and whatever he did in the past, God can do it again and again and again. You know, his mercy faileth not. They're new each and every morning. He don't even give us leftover mercies. They're new every morning. And so if we could just recall, as the writer said, I recall to my mind. If we can keep our mind stayed on him, that regardless of the situation or the circumstance or how long it's been, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my God is going to come see about me, because he's never left me. He's never failed me. He said that he would always be there with me, and I can count on that. So regardless of what it looks like, I think that helps us to stay in the mode of hope, and not looking at what's wrong, but looking at the author and the finisher of our faith. So, yeah, hope is paramount. I mean, that's something that we must have. You know, because if you think about it, we hope in a lot of stuff, but are we hoping in God? You know, because stuff will fail us. People will fail us. But our hope's got to be a godly hope. It's got to be in God Almighty all by himself. So I'm excited about that, that you got an opportunity to expand on that in your book. Another principle that's threaded through your book is about love. So talk to us a little bit about love.
Yes. I thank you. I just enjoy listening to what you were just saying. I tell you, it's so good. But you can't talk about love without talking about God. You know?
Yeah.
Because God is love. And a lot of times people throw out that love, but then we're really not talking about that agape love, that love that's unconditional. And in the book, she really loved, the main character really didn't know how to love. She carried a lot of baggage into her marriage. And because of some things that had happened to her in her past, still dealing with unforgiveness, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But when she begins to delve into a lot of the scriptures, and with the help of the facilitator at the conference, even though it's a 2-day conference, but she got a lot of takeaway, is that she needed to get rid of a lot of stuff to really, really love as God loves. So Jesus is love. And once she, and it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. You know, we talk about love, but you'll see the theme of love throughout the book, the love that she had for her mom, and she talked about that so much, the love that her mom had for so many others, you know. And then she was able to, once she was able to get rid of a lot of baggage, I'll call it baggage, her eyes were open, and even in the midst of going through stuff when someone was trying to harm her, she had to learn, you know, that what true love is all about. So that the love that we're talking about here is that unconditional love, that regardless, I'm going to love you regardless, not because of anything you've done for me, but because God is love, and he told us to love, you know, to love each other as we love ourselves. And I wanted to say also it's very difficult, and I dare say you can't really love anyone else if you don't love yourself, if you don't respect yourself. And you'll see some of that in the book as well. Once you're able to love as God loves, we're talking about the awesome love. He loved us so much, you know, that he gave his only begotten son for us. And so when we think about the type of love that God extended towards us, then we have to. We have a mandate to extend that type of love towards others. So you'll see that the theme of love throughout the book, and books one and book two, as a matter of fact.
Amen, amen. You just, you know, I had jotted down there with you, the scripture you just gave in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, and when you think about this scripture, it says that God so loved. He didn't just love, so loved. Because, you know, when you so love, it's a little bit different than just loving. But when you so love, because you've been married, how many years have you been married? I hope you don't mind me asking that.
Next week will be our 47th wedding anniversary.
Him tell me, but you're special and I love you. live again and want to know that I was special and everything was going to be okay. And that caused me to say one day, I'll never forget one day, I said, you know what, girl? You're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right, girl. You're going to be all right. And so I'm just so grateful, you know, for his love
Amen.
And letting me know that I was going to be okay and that I was special. And so it's something about the love. And when he loves you, you can't help from starting to love yourself, because a lot of times we don't love ourselves. You know,
right.
But he causes us to love ourselves, and in loving ourselves, then we can learn to love somebody else. So that love thing is really important.
I wanted to interject something here based on what you were just saying, too. In chapter 5 of the book, when we talk about loving yourself, at the seminar that she was attending, I just wanted to read an excerpt from that. And listen very closely. You need to love yourself. Yes, embrace the love of God by loving yourself. Remember how Jesus responded to a Pharisee lawyer when he was asked about the great commandment? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, if scriptures model the love for our neighbor as the love we have for ourselves, what does that tell us? And then the book goes on to say, by this time, the same character is barely able to keep it together. She starts to weep, and she tries hard to control her sniffling. Her emotions are raw because she really, up to this point, didn't know how to love herself. I just wanted to add that because based on what you were just saying.
Amen. It's so important that love just does something. His love just does something that no human love can do. And it's so needed and so wanted, and it's a blessing. Another one of, and you talked a little bit about this when we were talking about hope. You talked a little bit about faith, but just if you could just expound a little bit more about that in your book, in the principle of faith, and, you know, why is it so important for us?
So important. As I mentioned earlier, one of the main scriptures comes to my mind, is Hebrews 11th chapter, the first verse. And throughout the theme, the author talks about the different principles that the main character's mom had, you know. And I was built on faith. And she realizes, though, the main character realizes, hey, mama's gone. I don't have her here. And I realized that I need to stir up the gift within me. And then she learns that she has, every person has a measure of faith. And she just needs to do whatever she needs to do to build upon that. And she learns how to do that, knowing that faith is truly the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once she grabbed a hold of that, and it was not an overnight thing, it's even when she moves on into book two, there was a lot of talking about prayer, but even in book two, she has to lean back and go back over the scriptures and encourage herself and remember who she is in Christ. But her faith, she did learn that she needs her own measure of faith. And she was able to grab that, and then she was able to help her family throughout that. And so very, very important. But also know that hope and faith, they do go hand in hand.
Amen. And also, I was thinking about this too. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we can't see God. We can't see a lot of things, you know, but when it comes to God and the things that he does, we have to believe it by faith. He says that, you know, a lot of times we'll say, I need more faith. No, it's not that we need more faith. We need to utilize the faith that we have. It says that we speak to the sycamore tree, if we speak to it, it shall be moved into yonder sea. And I remember doing a little study on the tree. I think it's a sycamore tree, and how the roots go deep down. They go deep down, and then they spread out so that that tree is very stable. It's nothing going to shake it like that. But he said, he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is very small, you can speak to that tree, and it shall be moved into yonder sea. So that tells us that even a little bit of faith can do a whole lot of stuff. You know,
absolutely.
If a little bit of faith can move a sycamore tree just by speaking to it and cause it to be uprooted when those roots are spread out and it's stable, but if we speak to it, it can be moved into yonder sea. So faith is such a powerful element or a powerful principle as believers that we need to have, but not only to have, but to utilize.
Amen.
You know, we always think that we don't have enough faith, but that ain't what the word says. It says that we have faith the size of a mustard seed. So stop, you know, we need to sometimes stop asking for more faith and just use
That's
the faith that we have and just see what it's going to do. And see what it's going to do. Because it will produce. It will produce.
Awesome.
Faith. And another principle that you mentioned in the book was, and that's just one of my favorite, is forgiveness. So talk to us a little bit about
that. Ooh, forgiveness. Oof. That was what she struggled with the most. So the main character, the small town girl, goes away to college. And when she gets to college, something awful happens to her. And she doesn't tell anybody about it, okay? But she's harboring resentment. She's harboring hatred. She's harboring bitterness. She's harboring unforgiveness towards this guy because of what was done to her. So she takes that, all those feelings of bitterness and anxiety and hatred towards this person into her marriage. And she doesn't really understand that all that stuff that happened then because she didn't deal with it back then. It carries over and it's affecting her. Forgiveness is so vital. It's real to become victorious in Christ. And how can we dare say we can't forgive someone when God forgives us, you know? Is there anybody out there who needs to forgive someone today? Do you find yourself dredging up the past and refusing to forgive someone who has done you harm? Are you continually allowing the ghost of your past to hover over your present and prevent you from moving on into the future that God has ordained for you? Because until you deal with unforgiveness, you cannot move on and do and be everything that God wants you to be. So forgiveness is such a key. We all need to remember that once we are in Christ, according to the word of God, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But forgiveness, either for others or for ourselves, is not an option. And a lot of times we hold on to unforgiveness. But one thing we must remember is that forgiveness really is for me. It's not for the other person. Because as I just mentioned, or for me to move on and fulfill God's purpose in my life, which is to strengthen and encourage somebody else, I got to get rid of that stuff. So that was really a key turning point in her life when she was able to acknowledge that she needed to forgive. And when she did forgive this person, it was like shackles fell, literally fell. And that scene, I won't go into all of it, but that scene, when she was able to release it, oh, my goodness. I even talking about it now, I can remember writing about it. And it was like all of us have stuff in our past, baggage in our past that we did not come clean with then. Hopefully we've come clean with it now, you know. But you got to. It's like, old things are passed away. We got to allow that stuff to be in the past and forgive, not for that person. A lot of times that person moved on with their life. They don't even realize you holding unforgiveness towards them. But to be everything that God wants us to be, and think about Jesus who went on the cross for us and how he told God to forgive those people what they did to him, but they know not what they did. And then how can we have the audacity to say, I'm not going to forgive Shirley? I mean, Pastor Shirley, let me stop, okay? Because I can go
no,
on that one.
that's so important that, you know, forgiveness. Because one of the things I think that there is levels to the forgiveness. First, that we have to receive the forgiveness for ourselves. You know, the Bible talks about Now, therefore, now there's no more condemnation. And a lot of times we, because we allow the enemy to play tapes, you know, the enemy will play tapes and say, look what you did, look what you did, look what you said, look where you were, you know, how could God love you with all that junk in your life and you know, you're not forgiven and, you know, why are you thinking that? And if you're not careful, you can start to, and then people will come, you know, people you ain't seen in 5 years will come or call you, you know, they want to hang out like you used to hang out, you know, and you start giving wind to that thing, you know, and not saying, but I am, like you said, I am a new creature and I have been forgiven. So we first have to forgive ourselves and receive the forgiveness that God has forgiven me. You know, I'm a child of the Most High, and he has forgiven me. So I had a lot of junk in my life, but God's forgiven me, and I'm not her or I'm not him, but this is who God is making me. So we have to forgive ourselves first. And then I think once we forgive ourselves, then we're able to forgive others. Well, like you said, how dare we? How dare we hold something against somebody and God has forgiven us? And I know one of the things I learned that when you're not in Christ or even when we're in Christ, we still do some stuff.
Yes.
But if somebody is not having a relationship with God, just think about ourselves, that we're capable of anything in this body of flesh.
Amen.
So how dare I hold something against you and God didn't hold it against me. And so we have to learn how to forgive others. And like you said, it's not even for them, but it's for us.
Amen.
Unforgiveness can cause stress. It can cause, like, headaches. It can cause a heart attack. It can cause so many negative things in our lives. And we grow up. We can grow up like that, and we never get the release towards our purpose and our destiny. As Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Amen.
So he's forgiven us. So we got to forgive. We got to forgive, too.
Forgive.
Like you said, it ain't easy because, you know, folks done did you wrong. Folks done talked about you. Folks done lied on you. Folks done rejected you. I mean, the list can go on, but nevertheless, God still says you got to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Because he says he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I don't want nothing hindering my destiny and my purpose.
Especially somebody else.
I don't want that ever to happen to my life. And so we have to walk in forgiveness, and that's real. So I want to give you about another 5 minutes or something else you want to. Those are the principles that I pulled out there. Is there something else that you would like to add or share regards to what you learned to even doing the book?
Thank you. I did want to read another excerpt when we talk about forgiveness. For some reason, I think that's heavy on a lot of people's hearts, and I wanted to read a little bit more about what's in the book on forgiveness, okay? It says, you may be going through life at this precise moment, feeling as though you are all alone, miserable, and just downright unlovable. You have read all the right books, you've heard some of the most uplifting songs, and perhaps listen to all sorts of inspirational intended messages. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed. Well, have you ever stopped to wonder, even for a brief moment, that maybe the feelings are brought on by unforgiveness, buried way deep within you? Let's call this hidden unforgiveness. Perhaps you're going through life with some unresolved conflict within yourself. This could be your biggest downfall. Once you have asked God to forgive you, I want to get this audience, once you have asked God to forgive you, it's time to forgive yourself. You have got to resolve any remaining conflict within yourself. Stop beating up on yourself for something you did or didn't do 10, 20, or even 50 years ago. Are you continually allowing the ghost of your past to hold over your present and prevent you from moving on into the awesome future God ordained for you? Are you saying that God won't forgive you? Are you saying that his word is not true? Did you ask for forgiveness? Did his word say he would forgive you and remember it no more? For some reason, Pastor Cheryl, I just wanted to read that to someone out there might be dealing with that spirit of unforgiveness. And I just wanted to reiterate everything you said and everything, you know, that we've said so far about unforgiveness.
Amen.
I just hope that the books have been encouraging to those who've already read them, and that they wouldn't just read it for pleasure, but that with this, a lot of the materials in it, a lot of it goes back and recites so many different scriptures and all. And at the end of both of my books, I do include a simple appeal from me, really, and it's the plan of salvation. That's in each book. So I hope that as people read the books, that they don't just put it on a shelf later, that they will share what they've learned with others, because that's my own goal, the purpose I believe God has for me, is to encourage somebody so that they can go out and encourage someone else. And encourage folks who even, you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that your relationship will be strengthened. And if you don't have one, that you would come to get to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then that you wouldn't be selfish with that. You would just keep passing the word on and on and on. I truly believe that this is my purpose, and this is, I'm hoping that it's been, it's been helpful to someone who's read it, and that they can know that it's not about me. Apostle Shirley, I know you can agree with that. That it's not about us. It's about building His kingdom. You know.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole purpose. Wherever I go and share about this, I'm sharing His love. You know, and I'll be the first to say. This is about God. It's not about the nester. It's not about titles. This is about God and what He wants us to do, because we don't have much longer on this earth. And then you talk about leaving a legacy. What legacy are we leaving behind, you know? So I do thank you for the opportunity, but I just want to share that.
Amen. Amen. So where can folks get your book?
Okay, thank you. I do have my own website. The book is also available on Amazon. If you go to Amazon, you put in my name, my full name, Vanessa Williams, it'll pull up both books. I also have a website that gives a lot more information about some of the book tours, some of the speaking engagements, different things, and that's authorvanessawilliams.com. Author Vanessa Williams is all written together, .com. And you can go there. I've got some blogs out there, and lots of information. And it also will direct you to Amazon to purchase the books as well. But both books are on Amazon. And so go buy your book today.
Amen. 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 Well, this has been a blessing. But one thing I want you to do, you mentioned that at the end of your book, that you have the plan for salvation. And so if you would just be so kind right now, is to just give the call to salvation for anybody that may be on the call tonight. If you can do that for me, I appreciate it greatly.
Amen. Thank you for this opportunity. I say to everyone out there, we talked about quite a few things. We talked about the principles of hope, love, faith, and forgiveness, all of that. But until you accept God's saving grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, you won't be able to embrace these principles of hope, love, faith, and forgiveness. So if you haven't accepted Him as your Savior, we want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. Right now, Jesus stands ready with His arms open wide to welcome you home. So basically, if you're not saved, if you've not repented of your sins and accepted Jesus into your heart, if you're not 100% sure where you will spend eternity, I want you to listen to us. Nobody can save you except Jesus. There's only one way to God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. For John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the first thing you need to do is admit you're a sinner. Romans 3:10 lets us know that there is none righteous. I don't care what you think you've done that's good. There is none righteous, no, not one. You need to be willing to turn from your sin. That's to repent. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that He was buried and rose from the dead. As John 3:16 says, we read that earlier, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So right now, through prayer, you can invite Jesus to come into your heart right now by repeating this prayer after me. Because Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're not saved, then you can repeat this prayer with me right now. And guess what? In a moment, your life will be eternally changed. Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that he was raised from the dead. Right now, Lord, I am willing to turn from my sins. I ask for your forgiveness, and I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart and to my life as my personal Savior. If you just trusted Jesus as your personal Savior just then, guess what? You've just begun a wonderful new life in Christ. We are rejoicing with you. The angels are rejoicing with you. And there is nothing better on this earth that you could have ever done. Get a good Bible where you can read it every day. Get to know Jesus. Spend some time with him. Talk to him in prayer and share his love with others. And then don't forget to get into a local church where Jesus is preached. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And also, if you've surrendered tonight and you've asked God to now be the orchestrator of your life, please contact me and let me know. And I have some additional information that I want to send to you to help you on your new journey. Again, I can be reached at apostlesjones@rehobothslc. God, this has just been such a blessing, Minister Vanessa. I said your name right that time, right? Vanessa, right? Thank you. Yeah, thank you so very much for being my guest and sharing with us tonight.
I just pray that
you be continually blessed and that you continue to write books as words of encouragement as God leads you on your journey. So thank you, my sister. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me tonight and joining me again next month. I pray that the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. Love you guys. Love you guys. Have a great night. God bless.
Love you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I want to thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is just a reminder, Christian Bound in Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray is the first, the second, and the fourth Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Noreena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Cleophas Malone, and Esther Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. The SS code is 732-499. Amen. Also, I want to remind you of Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry broadcast. We broadcast every third Friday at 7 p.m. Our hosts are Renee Malone, Ray Rose, Hope Williams, Robert Waring, Maggie Wilson, and Felicia Shears. We're excited about this group of people, of singers coming together and speak and say what thus says the Lord. We also have the more newest broadcast called Spiritual Nuggets of Truth, and they're going to air on the second and the fourth Monday of the month at 8 p.m. is led by Minister Carmen A. Booker. And we appreciate her coming on and being new to the family. Amen. We want to encourage you to go and check out our website of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. And on that you can find a little bit more about the different hosts and a little bit more about what we got going on, some of the previous broadcasts and platforms that you use. Also, you will be able, if you would like to sow a seed or a donation into the ministry, you can do that now by clicking on Donate Now. I thank you for your time, and again, I thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. God bless you.